We had a chance to begin Igeros Trias HaMesim to see the way he introduces the topic, to see the way he frames Ikori Emuna and their place in the larger world of Limud HaTorah and in the larger world of Chinuch for Limud HaTorah, and to see the way in which the Rambam consistently wrote and taught around that balance of halacha and emuna agada hashkafa that he felt was an absolutely fundamental balance. And that within that context, he saw fit to highlight the importance of Olam Haba as an independent concept, while at the same time he points out he never, ever, ever denied the reality of Trias HaMesim. The Mishnah, which is the address for his list of Ikari Amuna, is the opening Mishnah in Parak Chelek, the end of Sanhedrin. Elu Kol Yisrael Eishem Chelek Olam Haba, Elu She'elem Chelek Olam Haba. And that becomes in part a list of people who deny Ikari Amuna. And the one that the Mishnah gives prominence to is someone who denies Trias HaMesim or denies Trias HaMesim Min HaTorah. And the Rambam is very clear in his Perush on that mission. And when he, at the end of the Hakadama, enumerates the Ikari Amuna, it's very clear that number 13 is Trias HaMesim. As he began to see over the last 2 days, he writes, people misunderstood. Over the next couple of pages, he explains a little bit more about why people misunderstood, that they couldn't understand that there could be a Olam Haba and a Trias HaMesim. They couldn't wrap their arms around his concept, which we'll come back to, that Olam Haba is entirely spiritual, which again, as I said yesterday, is a machlokas Rambam versus Ramban and most other Rishonim. The Rambam points out that people have a tendency to think that those things which are physical and tangible are the most real. Like if I can touch it and I can feel it, I can knock on it and it makes noise, so then that's like really real. If it's an idea, so that I can't really touch or feel, so that somehow intuitively seems to us to be less real. So if you tell someone that Olam Haba is going to be entirely spiritual, so to many people that sort of seems less real, even though the Rambam points out we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has no body, and he's more real than any of his creatures. So just because our intuition is that which you can touch and feel is more real, sensory perception is one way to know things. It's certainly not the only way to know things. Okay, and the Rambam goes on over the next couple of pages to describe the drama of people writing letters claiming that he denied Trias HaMesim, and he had a back and forth with a Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel. I really want to turn our attention now to what in the edition you have in front of you is highlighted as Guf HaMaamar. He's been setting up a perspective, and then he sets up the history of the back and forth. But now he really gets to the heart of the matter, to talk about Trias HaMesim, and then from there, as I mentioned yesterday, to come to a whole slew of important topics and perspectives on Hashkafa, on Emuna. Da'ata ha-me'ayin. You need to know. She'kavanaseinu b'zeh ha-mamar, hi leva'er ma'shinamineu b'zos ha-pina, ha-shenaflu ba'dvar b'na talmidim. The goal here, the background, up until now, he was giving some background in terms of the history of this controversy, this misunderstanding of the Rambam, which again, as he opened the mamar, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also misunderstood, so Rambam certainly feels in remarkably good company. But he says the goal here is not to rehash, because historically there was an attack on me, I would like to now actually talk about reality, content. Let's actually get into the heart of the substance of the matter. Trias HaMesim, ve'ein b'zeh ha-mamar davar ha-nosef klal, akol masha amarnuhu b'feirish ha-mishno b'chibar. He says, he says, I'm just going to let you know, don't expect any chidushim. I'm just going to be repeating what I already wrote. I'll rephrase it. I'll highlight certain things I already wrote. I'm just going to be rephrasing and reviewing and repeating the things that I've already written in the Perasha Mishnayos and or in the Chibur, which is the Rambam's terminology for the Mishnah Torah. And he almost feels that he the need to apologize. He's spoke, okay, filling on him. I'm going to be repeating things. It's going to be redundant. Ha'aracha hamonis. I'm going to be lengthier to speak to a popular crowd. V'sosef hezbeir yuvinu hanashim v'haschalim lo zul hazeh. And maybe I'll explain myself even more. I'll be even more explicit to make it clear to people who are not learned. But fundamentally, it's just going to be reviewing, repeating things I've already written. If that sounds familiar to you, we've learned another sefer, which also opens with a hisnatzlus, that, oh, don't expect to find any chidushim, I'm just going to be writing things we already know. Who else opens a sefer that way? Mesiel Sesharim, right? Ramchal opens Mesiel Sesharim that way. I think I mentioned to you, Rav Chatzkel Sarna, I think it is, in his edition of Mesiel Sesharim, points out in the introduction there are a tremendous number of parallels between the Rambam and the Ramchal. Certain aspects of their life story and biography and the way in which they were incredibly controversial during their lifetime and incredibly broadly accepted afterwards. And also in terms of a lot of what they wrote and the vision and specifically the sort of encyclopedic organization that they both engaged in. This also, as you definitely, you can hear whether Ramchal might have seen this and adopted it as his own also. To start by saying, there are no chidushim. Now the truth is the Rambam is saying this also because he wants to make it clear, I'm just going to clarify what I already have written. The whole point is, the larger point here is to say, I have believed and I have always believed in Tchiyas HaMeisim. This is not a retraction, this is not a changing of opinion. I'm just going to review, in case you didn't get the message, if you didn't understand it. If you didn't understand it when I wrote it the first time in the Perashat Mishnayos, if you didn't understand it when I wrote it the second time in the Mishnah Torah, so I'll write it a third time. But his whole point is, I'm not changing my view, this is what I always believed. At the same time, also, we'll see, as he progresses, as with the Ramchal, of course, what the Rambam may have taken, just going to review already said, we're going to find gems. And he'll be even clearer about certain ideas that maybe we would not have picked up on the first time. And then, in addition to that treasure trove, there's a second treasure trove, which at the end he says, and you're closer to the end of the Igaris, he says, I feel bad, mamish, I'm like wasting paper here, I'm gonna write a whole letter, I'm just chazering things that you already know. Okay, so, you know, let me add some chidushim. At the end, he's going to have an appendix, which is overtly additional chidushim, in addition to the many chidushim, which will be intertwined throughout the next couple of pages as well. V'omar shetchias ha-mesa mefursemes, ha-nodaz bu'umaseinu, ha-muska male miklal kitoseinu. Let's begin with the following. Tchias ha-mesim, which is well known, it's universally accepted in Klal Yisrael, universally accepted among all the groups who have traditional emuna in Klal Yisrael, asher rav zichra batfilos uva'amarim uva'tchinos, and it's Tchias HaMeisim is mentioned so many times, again and again and again, in the tfilos that we say, asher chiburum hanavim gdol hachachavim. So it's throughout the Siddur, which was largely written by Nevi'im, and by Chazal. You think about, for instance, most obviously, or the most obvious major reference to Tchias HaMeisim, two major references to Tchias HaMeisim in ancient texts in the Siddur. Right? The second bracha of Shmona Esrei, right? The bracha of Tchias HaMeisim. Again, I think there are five references to Tchias HaMeisim in the bracha of Atta Gibor. And there's another bracha, which appears in Brachas Daf Samach, which we say every day. L'kai Nesham Hashem Asa Tavi. Ata Asit L'Tla Mimeni, Ula Chazir Abi Ila Asit Lava. And we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to take a moment to appreciate the blessing of a Neshama, and how extraordinary and wondrous it is, and you gave it to me as a gift for years. Ultimately, you're going to take it back. I shouldn't say ultimately. At some point, you're going to take it back. At some point in the future, you're going to take my neshama away. My life is not infinite. But then further into the future, you're going to give me my neshama back. That's an explicit reference to Tchiyas HaMeisim. He said, and milei mimena divrei hatamim ha-midrashos. And you find Tchiyas HaMeisim throughout Shas, throughout Midrashim. In other words, this, and he, we're going to see soon as the Rambam's words unfold why he's why he's introducing and framing Tchiyas HaMeisim this way. It's so well known. It's so well known throughout Klal Yisrael. It appears throughout the Siddur, which was of ancient origin. It's throughout Shas. It's throughout Midrashim. What does it mean? In Yana Shuv Zos HaNefesh LaGuf Acharei Parda. It means the return of the neshama to the body after they have separated. A person passes away, the neshama separates from the body. At some point in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return our neshamas to our bodies. V'umash lo nishma v'umah machlokas alav. We are not familiar within the group of Klal Yisrael who maintain Ikar Yemuna. We have not heard any machlokas about this. Ein bo peirush klal. No, we have no source in Chazal for reinterpreting what it means. Ve'en mutar lahamin be'ish me'anshei hadas shehu ma'amin chilav zeh. And a Jew who is a believing Jew is not permitted to disbelieve, to reject Tchiyas HaMeisim. And now he already explicitly dangles a fascinating question and tells us coming attractions. Okay, so if you ever heard anyone who says, here are some coming attractions, the mucker could be, Beferish Rambam. The Hinani Yasid, and if you've been listening to the Rambam carefully, you may already have noticed that he's in the back of his mind thinking about the following question, which is a good question, which he plans to answer in the future, which is, and that question is, Hinani Yasid Leva'er Lecha B'zeh HaMa'amar, Lama Lo Nefarish Ela HaLashonos, Kamoshe Peirashnu, Lashonos Rabin Batorah. I'm gonna explain to you later on in this mimer why wouldn't we interpret these terms about Tchiyas HaMeisim as we interpret many terms in Chumash, Votseinu Osam Mipshutehem. Right? There are many terms in Tanakh which we understand to be mashal, idiom to refer to another idea. And when it talks about Yad Hashem, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu's power, it doesn't mean that God literally has a hand with fingers. When we talk about in Tanakh or in Chazal, we talk about Ayin Roa Ozen Shomas V'chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtavim, does not mean that God actually has an eyeball or that God has an ear or necessarily that there's a bound book in Shamayim in which everything is physically written. It's a way of saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what we're doing, aware of what we're saying, and that things are recorded, things are archived. Which is something, the notion of using Mashal Welsh is something that's even more intuitive to us, who use the term windows often to mean something which isn't actually a frame enclosing a piece of glass that slides up and down. Right, when we talk about opening the window, well, we might, if you're talking before you start here, but could someone open the window, you actually meant the glass window that either lets in the outside air or doesn't. But we use the word window all the time to mean windows on a computer screen. And 10,000 examples like that. So Rama says there are plenty of terminologies in the Tanakh which we do understand to be mashal. So you might wonder, why not suggest that Tchiyas HaMeisim as well? Good question. We'll get to that. But for now, let's just state axiomatically that we Emunah in Tchiyas HaMeisim is literal Tchiyas HaMeisim. And he says, not only does it appear, and you'll notice he has not yet mentioned sources in Tanakh. When he was credentialing and framing, introducing Tchiyas HaMeisim, he said it's in the Siddur, it's throughout the Siddur, and it's throughout the words of Chazal, Talmud, and Medrash. And now for the first time he says, and a Pasuk. V'chein, zos trias ha-meisim, v'hishuv ha-nefesh l'guf achar ha-maves, this trias ha-meisim, the reviving of a human body, kvar zichara gam kein Daniel zikaron she'efsher l'farsho. Daniel is quite clear about it in a way that it can't be taken as metaphor or as a figure of speech. V'hu amro, in the very end of Sefer Daniel, v'rabim me'yishenei admas afar yakitsu. Many of those who are asleep in the soil, dead bodies, yakitsu will wake up. Eila l'chai olam ve'eila l'charafos l'diron olam. Some for everlasting life and some for terrible punishment. And then the Malach turns to him at the end of Sefer Daniel and says, "Ata leich laketz sanuach v'sa'amod l'goralcha laketz ayimim." And you're gonna rest. You're gonna pass away at some point, and then you will, in the future, at the Ketz Hayam, at the end of days, you're going to come alive again. He says, so that is quite clear. A pasuk Tanakh, that raises, by the way, another intriguing question, which he's also going to raise later, which is, there's so many this references in to Triyas HaMeisim in Chazal, how come there are fewer references to Triyas HaMeisim in Tanakh? Which is a good question, and which, again, the Rambam is alluding to here and is going to deal with later, although we should say from the outset that there's a Mishnah Chagiga that already deals with that sort of question. Mishnah Chagiga points out that, if you've been Mavar Sedra over the last couple of months, with open eyes, you've noticed that there are some areas of halacha that have a very large footprint in Torah Shebichzav, and there are some areas of halacha that have a far smaller footprint in Torah Shebichzav. And the Tanan were explicit about this in the Mishnah Chagiga, that the ratio between Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebapeh varies greatly between different areas of halacha. We're learning Bava Kama, is parsha after parsha after parsha about Bava Kama, which in fact is the opening point of the first Mishnah Maseches Bava Kama. Then there are Bavas Nezikin, and there's so much in Chumash. How come there are so many parshas? Right, Bava Mitzia, you have parsha after parsha about Shomrim and so forth, and Neshach. And the Mishnah has pointed out Kachim and Taras Nezikin. Kachim Taras is a lot of material in Torah Shebichzav. Hilchas Shabbos, far less. Aliyah L'Regel, less. And so on. So Nedarim, Hataras Nedarim, far, far less. And the Gemara and Mishnah says, Hein Hein Gufei Torah. And whether both those areas where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give a significant rooting in Torah Shebichzav, and those areas where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that almost all of it be Torah Shebapeh, both are Gufei Torah. A larger conversation we began earlier in the year, as we understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, this came up in Ian, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give, rather than give us all of the Torah up front, Torah Shebichzav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose a two-tiered system, Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebapeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made decisions about each area. We're not necessarily privy to why. We can see the what. We see that. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give things more reference and more of an address in Torah Shebichzav, and sometimes it's a smaller address. It's true in Halacha, and it can be true in Agada Hashkaf Emuna as well. There's certain Ikari Emuna that are repeated again and again and again in Chumash. The fact that Ikar number 5 in the Rambam's certain Ikarim, the fact that we worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone and no other power, reject Avodah Zarah, that has a lot of reference in Torah Shebichzav. Triyas HaMeisim is less. Okay, it's not fundamentally problematic. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to organize Torah, both the halachic parts of Torah and the hashkafic parts of Torah. But it is still something that the Rambam is going to think about more. Okay. We're going to pick up in Mirtz Hashem next time. He's going to begin the discussion of the question that he had left hanging before, of interpreting things as mashal or not, which he had phrased specifically as how come, why is it that we are open to understand that Yad Hashem is a mashal, we're not open to understand Tchias HaMeisim is a mashal. So that's a specific point that he's raising initially in the specific context of Tchiyas HaMeisim, because he was attacked and misunderstood about his position on Tchiyas HaMeisim. But the truth is, that's a very, very much larger, more broadly important question, which is, what does it mean to interpret something as mashal? And more generally, why would we interpret things as mashal or not? Do we interpret nothing as a mashal? Do we interpret everything as a mashal? In reading Psukim in Tanakh and in reading Amarei Chazal, we spoke about this earlier in the year, Kafalim HaKagigis, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So it's often understood to mean literally a Kadosh Baruch Hu did a nes, and certainly a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do that nes if he so chose. Maral writes, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have, Kadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. He certainly could have uprooted a mountain and floated over the heads of Klal Yisrael. Maral says, but I don't think that's what Chazal mean. I think what Chazal mean is something far more powerful. The Kafalim HaKagigis is a metaphor for something else. So that's a big, big issue that we don't often think about. Well, how would one figure out whether to interpret something as mashal or not? So that's something that the Rambam will pick up with in Mirtz Hashem next time.